Confrontation Radio. Our society has been wrecked by economic improprieties, political maneuvers, moral decadence, and debasing sociocultural practices. In the face of these vices, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, constructive information remains the deal breaker. Join our formidable team of reporters on News Extra with incisive investigative reporting and analysis tailored to reshape our society and give it a moral face. News Extra is a production of the news service of Foundation Radio that uncovers striking societal concerns and demystifies them. Get the deepest understanding about economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. News Extra, your window to constructive criticism. Foundation Radio.
Since you are tuned to FM 100 Bamenda, Cameroon, you are in perfect communion with the team that is going to deliver your weekly magazine program, News Extra, on Foundation Radio. In today's edition, Christopher Fogwe, Lanze Vela, Lem Sandra Fomujang, Priscilla Ninge, and Atanga Atanasios are all appreciating the technical assistance of Tendong Julius and Bayere Waters. And at the anchor for presentation, I am Mokun Johnny Nelson. We don't create news. We may, however, analyze and comment on news happenings. Priscilla Ninge was there to monitor events unfold during the week and now presents News Extra's Week in Retrospect.
The week opened with a worldwide celebration of the 22nd edition of World Teachers' Day under the theme, Empowering the Teacher, Building Sustainable Societies, with commemorative activities including march pass taking place in all 10 regions of Cameroon. Victims of the September 13 floods in Babawan also received financial support from officials of the Social Democratic Front, SDF Party. The amount, which was 2 million francs CFA, was contributed by senators and parliamentarians of that party. The launch of the regional campaign on civic education and national integration was also one of the events that took place this week. It was celebrated under the chairmanship of the governor of the Northwest region, Adolphe Le Lafrique, with theme, My Citizenship Contribution for the Advent of an Exemplary Cameroon. Classes for returning students of the University of Bamenda, Yuba, officially resumed for returning students, while the students who applied for the three newly created faculties, as well as those who wrote the competitive entrance examinations into the Higher Teacher Training College and Higher Technical Teacher Training College, continue to wait for the publication of their list. The Northwest region joined in the celebrations D. On the occasion, advice was given on the effects of harmful practices that lead to eye problems. This year's theme is Eye Care for All. The World Poster Day celebration is one of the events that run off the week regionally, with focus on innovation, integration, and inclusion being prescribed as key drivers for the future of the post. The trial of the four alleged members of the SCNC movement that claims to be fighting for the independence of the English-speaking regions of Cameroon was adjourned to November 2, 2015. Clean urban spaces were described as key to the enhancement of economic development. This declaration was made this week on the national scene by the Minister of Housing and Urban Development. Prospect of cocoa production in Cameroon in the 2015 season was also reported to be dismal, as a fourth quarter forecast from the Bank of Central African States showed that cocoa production may drop by 20,000 tons. The first contingent of Cameroonian pilgrims to Mecca also arrived in the country this week. 28 Cameroonian pilgrims were reported to have lost their lives in the recent stampede in the Muslim Holy Land, with about 70 of them still missing. Newly appointed members of government were installed this week by the head of government, Prime Minister Philemon Yang, with a call to all officials to immediately go to work and ensure Cameroon's development drive. Still within the week, air officials and civil authorities from several African countries were cautioned on the need for a keen reflection on current issues affecting air travel within the continent to guarantee safety both in the airports and the airspace. The Minister of Forestry and Wildlife, Philippe Ngolenguese, on his part, signed off 620 million CFA francs to institutions that will benefit from the French government relief and development contracts. These institutions included local councils, training institutions, and non-governmental organizations. Post and telecommunication experts from Central Africa also began meeting in Yaoundé to carry out midterm evaluation of the implementation of recommendations adopted during the third extraordinary session of the Conference of Post and Telecommunications for Central Africa. The security of journalists in armed conflicts and the role of journalists in the protection of war victims were also discussed during a two-day workshop in Yaoundé this week. The University of Boya hosted an English language seminar and book launch organized by the University Group for English Language and Educational Research, with focus being on the challenge of English language teaching. Out of Cameroon, officials reported that a series of operations on the outskirts of the Nigerian capital, Abuja, killed at least 18 people, while Médecins Sans Frontières said it was disgusted by Afghan government's statement justifying an airstrike on its hospital in Kunduz. He called it an admission of war crime. The head of the Catholic Church reaffirmed the church's opposition to gay marriages, but said the church, however, had to show love and understanding towards all. The leader of last month's short-lived coup in Burkina Faso was charged with crimes including threatening state security and murder. General Gilbert Diendéré was said to be expected to face trial before a military tribunal. The week rounded off internationally on a good note, with the 2015 Nobel Prize for Literature announced as being won by Belarusian writer and journalist Svetlana Alexievich on her writing titled A Monument to Courage and Suffering in Our Time. She's the first journalist to win the award, worth over 700 million francs CFA. In sport this week, Cameroonian-born FIFA's Vice President Issa Hayatou was appointed interim president of the world governing body FIFA, following the suspension of the president Sepp Blatter, as well as other top officials on corruption charges. He's expected to be at the helm of FIFA until February 2016, when elections are expected to be organized. Those are some of the major events that made news this week.
Thank you very much, Priscilla Nyinge. We trust you shall be there again next week. In 1986, the first World Habitat Day was celebrated. This day aims at reflecting on the state of our cities and towns and on the basis of adequate shelter as basic human rights. That way, it becomes a collective responsibility. Christopher Fogwe, in the following paper, is of the view that African leaders are here to pay heed to the themes proposed every year as food for thought aimed at creating people-friendly cities. Here is his report.
World Habitat Day is observed every year on the first Monday of October throughout the world. It was officially designated by the United Nations and first celebrated in 1986. The purpose of the day is to reflect on the state of our cities and towns and the basic human right to adequate shelter. It also aims to remind the world of its collective responsibility for the habitat of future generations. Cameroon has participated in the celebration of the World Habitat Day since its inception in 1986, during which it was reflecting along with the rest of the world on the theme, Shelter is My Right. In the year that followed, the theme was Shelter for the Homeless. Then, in 1988 and 89 respectively, the themes were Shelter and Community and Shelter, Health and the Family. This year, 2015, the theme is Public Space for All. It is clear that each and every one of these themes is outrightly or implicitly people-centered, either at the level of the individual, as was the case in 1986 when the theme was Shelter is My Right, or collectively, as is the case this year, in which the theme is Public Space for All. One may ask whether African cities have much to celebrate on the World Habitat Day. One may also ask, in the case of our own Cameroon, whether the inhabitants of the sprawling and cacophonic cities of Yaoundé and Douala have anything to celebrate in being the administrative and commercial capitals of the country. Cameroon's Minister of Housing and Town Planning, Mbwencho Jean-Claude, was frank enough to confess that Cameroon cities are in a mess because structures of all sorts have mushroomed into mind-boggling ghettos before anybody could come up with an appropriate master plan to guide their construction. The Ministry of Town Planning, which has been around since the days of Ahidjo, has been completely overtaken by the spiraling, haphazard, chaotic, jumbled, and disorganized expansion of urban structures that must eventually be demolished to make way for a more conducive and people-friendly environment in which the cherished dream of emergence can be realized. Here in Bamenda, the 2015 World Habitat Day has come in one of the worst Octobers our communities in all of the towns of our region have experienced. The rains have been torrential, and the degradation of the roads in and out of towns have been abysmal. The 250-meter stretch of the commercial avenue of our capital city is the only stretch of road that is today free of potholes. The buildings that flank the avenue give it the allure of a veritable city street of which we can be proud. Unfortunately for the city, every street that branches off from the avenue is just a matter of minutes away from a neighborhood of hodgepodge and crammed petty business establishments such as motor spare parts shacks, outdoor butcher shops, tiny restaurants, shelterless garages, roadside vendors of all sorts of knickknacks, and taxis and bikes competing with wheelbarrows as they struggle from one side of the road to the other to avoid potholes. The stress of the chaotic visual surroundings is aggravated by the cacophony of blaring ghetto blasters blasting away at full volume to attract customers' attention or sell the latest CDs of pirated Nigerian popular or gospel music. Not far from the city center are some of the enclaves of preferred hideouts and dwelling places of criminals, prostitutes, smugglers, as well as charlatans and quacks who claim to be expert in all kinds of spheres, including the repairing of gadgets they know very little about. The situation is worse in big cities like Douala and Yaoundé, where short circuits resulting from flimsy electrical installations have resulted in frequent fire outbreaks that consume and even kill people in some of the enclaved ghettos, which are inaccessible to fire brigade equipment or ambulances. Health and hygienic conditions in such neighborhoods are usually quite appalling. Most African cities are afflicted by the same situation of deplorable urban degradation. Lagos. In order to start from scratch, the creation of Abuja, its current capital city. Will Cameroon follow suit? The leaders of tomorrow will decide.
That decrees, we have information that Bamenda City Council authorities are on the project to properly manage public space in Bamenda with a city master plan. Well, we hope that this is for real, because the roads in their current state, very, very bad state, are also public space, and you need a good road to go to a good home. The Northwest region has taken the relay baton of the National Civic Education Campaign launched a fortnight ago by Prime Minister Philemon Yang. Youths in the region have been called upon to inculcate the good practices of many years ago that included honesty, obedience, love, and respect for the elderly, among others. Lem Sandra Fomojang was part of the event at the Bamenda Congress Hall on Wednesday, October 7, 2015.
The Governor of the Northwest Region, His Excellency Adolphe Lele Lafrique, launched the Regional Campaign on Civic Education and National Integration. It was launched under the theme, My Citizenship Contribution for the Advent of an Exemplary Cameroon. Focus is laid on children and the youth on issues of obedience, loyalty, love, and respect for the elderly. It is a call for the practice of many years ago to be introduced in the lives and behaviors of this generation of children. Unfortunately, the younger ones are intoxicated with behavioral patterns that never existed so many years back. Habits like indecent dressing, prostitution, stealing, internet crimes, and disrespect for the elderly. This explains why civic education must be introduced in our schools to curb these bad habits, especially when a good number do not get the proper training from home. Being an opportunity to talk to the pupils and students who were present at the launch, very remarkable were the words of the religious leader, Reverend Humphrey Tatambui of the Bamenda Archdiocese, who did not only remind the children of their emergence of 2035, but made them understand that they have just 20 years to get there, and so their actions of today will obviously reflect how 20 years will look like. He also called upon some teachers and other elderly persons who push children into these bad practices, especially through sexually transmitted marks, collecting bribes from parents, to place children in particular positions they don't deserve, and many others. Speaking to one of the phones, he had this to say concerning civic education.
We should start teaching children obedience, right from childhood, obedience, then honesty, then love, then respect for elders. And once we start inculcating in the children these virtues, these values, I think that will be the beginning of civic education, which is very, very important. And I think we are more interested now in the younger generation. It's like, if we want to start civic education with adults who are already so corrupt in a dysfunctional society, these are people we cannot transform. It will be very, very difficult. So we should tilt attention to them and see whether in the next 20, 30 years, we shall have brought up a generation of Cameroonians that will be full of love for nation, love for one another, respect for elders, and so on. And so I think those are the basis from a traditional standpoint.
Madam Keng Victorine is the Regional Delegate of Youth Affairs and Civic Education, and she gave the modalities on how this campaign will run.
The launching is an evaluation of the regional committees on civic education and national integration that was put in place in 2013. So we're evaluating the work done so far. And after this regional campaign, the relay baton will be handed over now to the divisions. and activities of this committee are going to be felt at the subdivisional levels. That's where the practical work has to be done. And before now, all our sub-delegates had submitted programs on how to tackle this situation. When the means will be made available, concrete work will be done.
The governor of the Northwest Region, who launched this ceremony, made his expectations known in his words.
Not only from the youth, from the entire Northwest Region to change behavior, to embark along with the head of state for the advent of that exemplary Cameroon expected by all of us. And the caravan, after the launch in Banda, will move in the various divisions of the region, and along with the regional committee, supported by the different administrative authorities, traditional rulers, municipal authorities of the different divisions of the Northwest region.
It is therefore the responsibility of not only the youth, but the entire nation to ensure that, being responsible, together we can build our nation.
Sandra, let's hope that it is not just another bogus project like the campaign against indecent dressing that will rather enable some unscrupulous officials line up their pockets with mammoth banknotes. October 9 is celebrated every year as World Poster Day. In Cameroon, celebration activities took place at a time when postal services are struggling to stay on. In the next write-up, Lanze Vela highlights some of the reasons behind the stiff challenge faced by postal services in Cameroon.
The advent of the new information and communication technology tools, such as the internet and phones, has actually taken a serious toll on the means of communication that existed before. The postal services happen to be part of the communication means that have been jinxed by the coming of the new ICT tools. Not only do postal services struggle to find their place in this new era of technology, as knowledge about their presence is completely absent in many a Cameroonian. But to many who lived the heydays of the postal services, especially before independence, surprise and chagrin apparently is their portion as to why a one-time vibrant postal service could experience such a dramatic nosedive, especially when they recall the imperative role postal services played in communication in those heydays. Correspondence between parents and their children, especially those who studied far from home, was enhanced by postal services, and this was particularly favored by the affordable charges. Also, the prestige that came along with the use of these services prompted everyone to want to identify with them. One could make headline news on campus just for having received a parcel from a parent, friend, or whosoever through one of the postal services. People even made pen friends in far-flung areas thanks to the postal services, as well as the exchange of gifts on special occasions such as Christmas. And in strict analogy with the modern forms of communication, postal services are not less swift, reliable, and trusted, but the paradox is that they continue experiencing a nosedive. And that's why October 9 was instituted as the International Postal Day, with the objective to highlight the importance of postal services, which at the dawn of the 21st century have been given a cold shoulder by many. But nevertheless, the drift of attention from postal services to new ICTs has not completely entered the sector, as its services are still very available and have also embraced the ever-changing technology in a struggle for a return to glory days. Banking services have been rendered easy, with clients carrying out operations within a split second thanks to partnerships with some international banks and banking agencies. Just as experts put it, the postal services have been reinvented with an auspicious future. We just hope this vision comes to pass.
Cameroonians using the post office, George, at the end of this Vox Pop conducted for News Extra by Atanga Atanasios.
I'm a customer of a post office for long. Since 1986, I'm a customer of a post office. Even though they were having some more problems, but now there's no problem again. I wanted to save my money. Each time I went to withdraw, I would withdraw without problem. Yes, I would draw that problem. The problem they were having was just that they were shortage of money, but now there's no problem there. If you put your money there, you go, you draw without problem.
So you use the post office?
Yeah, I use the post office. Now I use the post office because when you put your money there, you are sure. And they gave you interest. Well, you deserve the interest. They gave you the interest very well.
Tell us, I know. I've never used the post office. Don't make it, tell me.
I've never used the post office.
Because?
I don't usually send letters or receive.
I used to use post office in those days. When we didn't have like this mobile phone which have text messages, even the mobile phone calls. So now when you need something in less than 1 minute, you call the person and you discuss the issue, okay? So that's why I'm no more interested with the post office, because it's taking too much time.
Yes, I use the post office.
Do I?
to receive and send letters.
I don't use the post office because I don't know about their services, so that's the reason why I don't use the post office.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
No, I've never used a post office because I don't even know what a post office is.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
No, I use it far back because for long we are in a modern society now. So there are too much connection, mobile phone, internet calls and all and not. So for long. Never use any post office activity again.
I never use them because I don't get any possible interact with a post office. No, I've never used a post office. Because I don't have somebody to send me letter there or either sending letter to somebody there. No, I've never used a post office. Because I don't have somebody to send me letter there or either sending letter to somebody there.
Christian Delphone is the Northwest Campus Regional Chief of Postal Financial Operations. In the following interview, he markets the services offered by Campus and unfortunately little known or exploited by the population. The questions are put by Lanze Vela, who starts by asking Christian Delphone why the need of a World Postal Day.
An international day for postal services is because the international community needs to be informed, needs to be aware of the important role that the post plays in the socio-economic development of countries and communities. And the Universal Postal Union is a specialized agency of the United Nations. The United Nations will want that all the citizens of the world should be, you know, served through the postal services, no matter where they find themselves.
You remind us about the theme of this year and the choice of the theme.
The theme for this year is innovation, integration and inclusion being the driving force for the future of the post. Integration because we have to put together the new information and communication technology into the traditional post to be able to serve the ever-increasing demands of our customers, because the customer, like in any sphere, is the king, and once their demands are not met by any business concerned, then that business ceases to exist.
Right. Maybe it's very necessary for us to know some of the services the Cameroon Postal Service render to its clients.
We have two classes of services. We have the postal services and we have the postal financial services. For the postal services, we have the letter. We have the sale of postage stamps, aerograms. We have post boxes, which are like an extension of a person's home. That is, these are cubicles that are found in our office, in in our offices where letters and items of correspondence are channeled to reach the holders. We, for the postal fin services, we have the post office savings bank, and it is for the for every class, because there are people who cannot have accounts in classical banks. But now with the post office, you can come, even if 10,000 francs, 5,000 francs, you come and you save. Still, the postal financial services, we have our current account. The current account holders are people who get their salaries through the post office. So no matter where you find yourself in Cameroon and you are a current account holder with Campost, you can get your salary in any of our post offices. You must not go to a particular office. And we have money transfer services. Traditionally, we were using letter money orders, but the use of letter money orders has greatly reduced. It is now mostly used by government departments for the registration into state universities or for registration of competitive examinations. But then we have included, because of this new information and communication technology, we've now brought in such gadgets that enable people to transfer money electronically. So instantaneously, somebody here in Bamenda can send money to somebody in Kuseri, in the far north, within 2 seconds, and that person is going to receive it. We have that particular service we call the Express Money Transfer, Electronic Express Money Transfer, which is within Cameroon. And we also have that service that goes out of Cameroon within the CEMAC region, within I think of now we are also extending to Nigeria. So anybody going to buy goods in Nigeria, you can already send the money in your name. When you reach Nigeria, you collect. Even for business persons, when you want to travel to Douala or wherever that you want to go and buy, you can go to the post office, you put your money there in your name. Once we just give you a code, a reference and a code, and when you reach your destination, you go to the nearest post office, you get the money. For people who also go and sell, you can go and sell, you put your money in the post office and you come to where you are localized to come and get the money. Still, for postal financial services, it suffices to also inform that formerly, with those operating current accounts, there was a cry that we should be giving loans like other commercial banks. Since we are moving to becoming a postal bank, that cry of the people, the need of our customers, was met by the presentation of the school fee loan. So those who have their salaries through the post office can now obtain school fees loans during the school reopening to enable their children go back to school stress-free. And we also have partners with whom we collaborate. Since the Cameroon Postal Services is having the wildest network, we have most telecommunication companies, without any publicity, MTN and Orange, they have solicited our counters for the sale of their communication credit. So there is that collaboration with other partners. There is the Western Union money transfer, which is paid within our counters. So these are, in brief, some of the services that the Cameroon Postal Services are offering.
A popular opinion holds that the first stretch of the 21st century has witnessed postal services struggling a lot to survive. What accounts for this major challenge?
This is because since the world, technology is evolving, and now we are in the era of new information and communication technology. The traditional post, wherein letters were being sent on horseback, afterwards it started by foot. People had to carry mails or messages to go and deliver on foot. It later on moved to horseback and coaches, and then we had trains and steamboats. Well, those were not very common with us here in Cameroon. And today, with the advent of the telephones, the internet, people can call, can send email. They no longer write letters. But then the aspect of ordering for parcels, the parcel post, still remains, and it's even booming now more than ever before because of the advent of the new information and communication technology. So like the theme for this year, this innovation, integration, inclusion, we are, you know, let's say the postal sector is incorporating this, you know, to even survive the more.
Well, why would you encourage Cameroonians to use postal services other than
the
internet?
To use the postal services, well, other than the internet, we cannot leave out the internet, because we have to move on with the trend of the world. With evolution, we have to also step up. When you use the internet, you communicate. For instance, you ask for a document, or you purchase an article. It is only through the post that is going to come. So you don't have to neglect the other. It's just like in my traditional language, they say, when you deliver twins, you must wash both of them. So the traditional post is there, the new informational communication technology is there. So we have to blend the two for a better rendition of service.
All right. What does the future hold for the postal services, especially in Cameroon?
In Cameroon, with the Cameroon Postal Services, we have this slogan that it is the reinvented post. The reinvented post. And I would say the future is bright. The best of Campost is yet to come. So I call on everybody to go to our post office counters, carry out your transactions there, and be rest assured, you won't go away regretting.
It is now your choice. You now know the various services offered by Campost. Go now to any of its counters and get first-hand experience. Lady Pons is arguably Cameroon's reigning Bikusi queen. She is well known for making controversial statements as well for her music. She's one of two musicians sued by a fellow musician, Joe La Conscience, for indecency and obscene music. In her latest album, Lady Pons criticizes African men who don't give women the respect they deserve. Francis Nguaniba met Lady Pons in the capital city of Yaoundé and has been examining the lady and her musical influence in Cameroon.
When I met Lady Pons and her band of 15 musicians in a small compact studio in the capital Yaoundé, she was rehearsing for yet another show to promote her new album. She told me, as always, she rehearses 5 days a week to make sure her fans get only the best music from her. Lady Pons sings mostly in Ewondo, the main dialect in the central regions of Cameroon, and has a strong fan base in and out of the country. It came as no surprise that she was one of only a handful of musicians selected to sing an anti-malaria campaign anthem by Malaria No More, a US-based charity that fights to reduce malaria deaths around the world. Malaria must get out. Lady Pons sings about everything from love to money. The hit single from her new 18-track album, Poisson Fumé, or Smoked Fish, criticizes most African men for being disloyal to their women. She did an a cappella of the song for me. Hey, oh, hey,
oh, hey, hey, oh, les hommes sont des poissons fumés, impossible de redresser un poisson fumé, difficile à changer un poisson fumé. She tells me her inspiration behind the song.
Poisson fumé, c'est une chanson où je conseille mes sœurs, mes
Poisson
mères
fumé
africaines.
Is a song in which I advise my African sisters and brothers that it serves no purpose to try to change our African men. Our men are like smoked fish, and when you try to change them, they get angry. And when they get angry, they will abandon you for someone else who is less critical of his behavior. They just need to accept their men as they are, because they cannot change them.
Parce qu'on ne pourra jamais vous changer.
In the 10 years she has been in the music industry, Lady Pons is frequently criticized for using sex to sell her music and dancing almost half naked on stage.
Lady Pons puts too much of an exaggeration on the aspect of sex, which to me is not the part of the appeal of Bikusi that appeals universally. Even though I have to admit, that lots of Bikusi folklore that comes through in music has sexual connotations. So it's an aspect of Yaounde culture.
When you talk about Bikusi today, a lot of people know that Bikusi is music which is danced with the buttocks, with the, you know, some parts, body parts, the breasts, you know. and those are somewhat obscene dances. The traditional, the classical Bikusi is danced in a modest style.
Not one to shy away from controversy, she has a ready answer for her critics.
Bikusi
is a music in which people dance a lot. You sweat a lot, and you cannot dance Bikusi with a dress that covers your whole body. Some of my detractors took a photograph of me on stage and photoshopped it. Luckily, one of my fans took the original and published it on Facebook. Take the example of a singer like Beyoncé. You can see how she dresses when she is on stage. I have never caressed myself on stage. I only wear skimpy dresses so I can dance with ease. I wear sexy dresses made by someone else. If people don't want to see me with sexy dresses on stage, they should stop designers from producing them.
Donc, si vous ne voulez plus de tenues de scène sexy, qu'ils arrêtent des créateurs.
Now in her mid-30s, Lady Pons says her musical journey is just beginning. She might have her critics, but the fact that thousands of fans in and out of Cameroon still pay top dollars to see her on stage means that she is still offering them something they like to hear and see. I'll leave you now with her last hit single, Poisson Fumé.
Lady Pons saying that men are like smoked fish. Decent music there from Lady Pons, even though some may want to quarrel with her dressing and dancing style they consider indecent.
There are people who can walk away from you, and hear me when I tell you this. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. I don't want you to try to walk another person into staying with you, loving you, calling you, caring about you, coming to see you, staying attached to you, I mean hang up the phone. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. Your destiny is never tied to anybody that left. The Bible said that they came out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not for us. For had they been of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. People leave because they are not joined to you. And if they are not joined to you, you can't make them stay. Let them go. And it doesn't mean that they are a bad person. It just means that their part in the story is over. And you've got to know when people's part in your story is over so that you don't keep trying to raise the dead. You've got to know when it's dead. You've got to know when it's over. Let me tell you something. I've got the gift of goodbye. It's the 10th spiritual gift. I believe in goodbye. It's not that I'm hateful. It's that I'm faithful. And I know whatever God means for me to have, He'll give it to me. And if it takes too much sweat, I don't need it. Stop begging people to stay. Let them go. If you're holding on to something that doesn't belong to you and was never intended for your life, then you need to let it go. If you're holding on to past hurts and pains, let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, and see your worth, let it go. If someone has angered you, let it go. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, let it go. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or addiction, let it go. If you're holding on to a job that no longer meets your needs or talents, let it go. If you have a bad attitude, let it go. If you keep judging others to make yourself feel better, let it go. If you're stuck in the past and God is trying to take you to a new level in Him, let it go. If you're struggling with the healing of a broken relationship, let it go. If you keep trying to help people who won't even try to help themselves, let it go. If you're feeling depressed and stressed, let it go. If there is a particular situation that you are so used to handling yourself and God is saying, take your hands off it, then you need to let it go. Let the past be the past. Forget the former things. God is doing a new thing for you. Let it go. Get right, get left. Think about it and then let it go. The battle is the Lord's. Next, stop and think and appreciate God's power in your life for doing what you know is pleasing to Him. Yes, I love my God. He is my fountain of life and my Savior. He keeps me going day and night. Without Him, I am no one. But with Him, I can do everything. Christ is my strength. This is a simple test. If you love God and you are not ashamed of all the great things that He has done for you, send this to everyone you know. God loves you and watches over you every day.
If you are just tuning in, you are on Foundation Radio and the program is News Extra. For presentation, I am Mokun Johnny Nelson. Reflecting on achievements of the past 15 years and planning sustainable development goals for the next 15 should be an opportunity to consider the importance of the adolescent girl child. This happens to be the focus of this year's celebration of the International Day of the Girl Child. Lem Sandra Fomujang elaborates more on this.
The United Nations General Assembly declared 11th of October as the International Day of the Girl Child to recognize girls' rights and the unique challenges girls face around the world. This year's celebration shall be commemorated under the theme, The Power of the Adolescent Girl, Vision for 2030, with an inception since the year 2000 and goals that have been set to be achieved by 2030. Girls born at the turn of the millennium have reached adolescence, and the generation of girls born this year will be adolescents in 2030. It is of importance, therefore, to consider the social, economic, and political investment in the growth of the adolescent girl, dismissing the generational stigma and stereotype of poverty, violence, exclusion from social amenities, and discrimination of all sorts for girls, especially those in our rural communities. Every rural adolescent girl child and a few in urban areas have the right to be safe from all forms of disasters, whether natural or man-made, good education and access to medical care, not only at tender ages, but also as they mature to women. These facilities are seriously deprived from the girl child, since they are usually considered as second class to the boys. Girls, just like boys, have potentials to change the world, like empowered girls of today and future mothers, workers, mentors, and even leaders of tomorrow. Girls should not be used as money makers where they carry trays on their heads from morning to night in the name of uplifting their family's financial status. They are most vulnerable to rape in the process and thus prone to unwanted pregnancies and marriages. Majority of our rural girls end up in primary schools, after which they bid farewell to education, either deliberately or not. Due to the high quest for money, a good number of their parents give them out to elderly persons in marriage just to benefit from their bride prizes. We must realize that uplifting the full rights of the adolescent girl promises a more equal and prosperous future, just like the boys. Through education, the girl child knows how to prevent diseases, better handle her social and economic problems, as well as help others. Even though there has been insufficient investment in addressing the challenges girls face, especially in rural areas, UN agencies, member states, civil society organizations, private sector stakeholders, and even parents should continuously commit to putting adolescent girls at the center of sustainable development by making investments in quality educational skills, health upgrades, social, economic, and mental growth. Speaking with some girls, here were their expectations.
My name is Tambin Aisha. Well, first of all, I'm very happy going to school. So I'm going to school to be somebody tomorrow, not only to drop out of school and get married or what. I like the fact that women are something in our society today. I appreciate that, and I would like to be one of them too tomorrow.
Okay, and given that you know that there are so many girls out there who have dropped out of school, maybe out of their own wish or due to some other unfortunate circumstances that they can't go to school, so what is your advice to those girls out there who don't have the opportunity to go to school or who have deliberately dropped out of school?
Well, my advice to them, especially for those who have deliberately dropped out of school, is that they don't know what they're doing, because every girl's future lies on her education for her to be somebody. And for those who are not going to school because they can't afford the financial means, well, I just say that let them not like be disappointed. We know there's a way will come out. If by chance they get a way to go to school, let them just hang up to it, because our education is what holds us, is what keeps our future going.
The joint commitment to realizing the potentiality of the adolescent girl, therefore, will bring positive changes by empowering them and promoting equality for sustainable advancement of their nations.
From one international day to the other, thousands with mental health conditions are deprived of their human rights, discriminated against, stigmatized, and marginalized. They above all lack qualified health professionals to take care of them. Cameroon counts not more than 10 psychiatrists. The theme for this year's World Mental Day, observed on October 10, is Dignity in Mental Health. Is that the case in our society, Priscilla Ninge?
Even the mental health patients themselves will feel elated when they hear, or if at all, they can comprehend this year's theme of the mental health day, which is Dignity in Mental Health. The day celebrated on October 10
seeks to raise awareness on how to live in dignity, even with mental health problems, through human-oriented policies, guiding the patients, and laws for health professionals taking care of these patients. Though the idea is lofty, the reality on the ground leaves much to be desired. Because every day along a street, right up from my 6th Mankon, Thrunkwen, upstation, even in rural areas, we see mental patients who lie on street corners with dumps of garbage that they hoard close to themselves. Others walking on streets in rags or even naked, terrorizing both adults and infants alike. Talk less of the violent ones who go around throwing stones or giving slaps to unsuspecting passersby. Though an inconvenience in society, it is of course understood that it is due to mental illness and that these people can't help themselves. Then comes the question on how they are supposed to feel dignified when even our own community centers that have been put there to cater for them are so nonchalant. Sometimes in our community, you see your neighbor who has tied a human being to a tree because the person is mentally unstable. Some even been flogged because of one mishap or another. More depraving still are situations where reasonable adults have sexual relations and even impregnate these patients just because they know they can walk away with nobody knowing that they did it. A more interesting question still is whether the encouragement of dignity in mental health is being materialized in health facilities provided for these patients, because most often than not, the centers where they are being kept is usually less than human, often characterized by emotional and physical abuse, as well as dilapidated structures, which is no better than the rags they sleep on around the commercial Sonak Nkwen Taringo Street, just to name a few. It is also really funny to understand that these people who have a day dedicated to them are most often being found by families and friends, as well as other community members, almost at the point of death, in danger zones, or their lifeless bodies flooding on river tops. What dignity is there then for the mental patient who never had the medical aid or support of family and community? Mental health problems, whether self-induced or not, doesn't make the patient any less human. So we should all respect this year's theme, dignity in mental health.
In the next paper, still on this very worrying topic of mental health, Lanza Vela demonstrates that even the mentally impaired or schizoids still have a reason to live and be happy, so there is need for their social inclusion.
I done very well. No, I got you. So I have a cough there, man. It better small. People sound like that. Me like that. I sing a song. I listen to the song. I see the music. I sing. I dance very much. People sound like that. Me, I cannot dance. I try.
That man you just listened to is speaking to an interlocutor, but don't ask me what he is saying, because I am as ignorant in that light as you are. Rather, ask me why he is babbling the way he does, and my response is simple. He is a victim of what is medically known as schizophrenia. Schizophrenia is a severe mental disorder characterized by profound disruptions in thinking, affecting language, perception, and the sense of self. It can impair functioning through the loss of an acquired capability to earn a livelihood or the disruption of studies. So, these are some of the genetic disorders that attract stigmatization onto some persons, especially schizoids. Even though they behave the way they do, they are still an integral part of society, reason the United Nations designated October 10 as the World Mental Health Day, with the objective of raising awareness of mental health issues around the world and mobilizing efforts in support of mental health. Although schizophrenia is said to have an adverse effect on thinking, language, and perception, this victim is not oblivious of the fact that he needs a lifetime sweetheart.
Thank you. When I fall, many don't know where you are. Oh, I were Mali, Mali, Mali. I were Mali. I don't know forever. I call for me. I call for me. You don't know where you are. Oh, I were Mali, Mali, Mali. I were Mali. And then I fall back, I call for me, I call for me, you don't be worthy. Oh, I were Mali, 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 I were Mali.
Just because one is a victim of schizophrenia does not imply the end of life. This schizoid knows he needs to catch up with the Joneses, and thus shows proof of business credentials.
Go for work. No give my money. No give my money.
You do it with the money.
I got my woman. I got my woman.
For what?
For business.
How much money you get up?
10,000.
You go village. Wonderful. Play the money, G. And I will clap for yourself. Clap! Who's your woman?
Where is this?
What is your name?
B.
I'll bet this mental disorder typically begins in late adolescence or early adulthood. There are still a good number of infants that are handicapped by this disorder. What constitutes a major preoccupation is the manner with which schizoids are treated in our society. Some people even wonder if most developed countries have victims of this disorder. You would not be blamed if your mind too is puzzled by the same concern, but know this, they do everything possible to give their schizophrenic victims a decent treatment as opposed to what obtains in Cameroon, where a majority of them rock our streets. Some schizoids confessed to this reporter how stigmatization helped to aggravate their situation because they were made to understand that they are psychotic and so did not have a place in society. So, October 10 should not only be a day to remember us about schizophrenic victims, but should also remind us of living with schizoids. Trust me, social inclusion is a major requirement for the realization of the 2035 emergence dream. So let's learn to live with schizoids.
Yes, Sue says he is not in his senses. Just when the world was about jubilating following news from the World Health Organization that the three West African countries most affected by Ebola had a first week with no new cases recorded, and Ebola's scare came from Calabar in Nigeria. Calabar happens to be most closer to Cameroon than most of the other states of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. This explains why Christopher Fogwe hopes that Cameroonian authorities will be meticulous enough to stop the deadly disease from penetrating over our borders, as was the case when the crisis was at its peak, or manage it if it does penetrate, God forbid.
Ebola has reared its ugly head again, and this time around too close for comfort to Cameroon. As a matter of fact, Calabar in Nigeria, where a case has been detected, is much closer to Bamenda and Mamfe than it is to Lagos or Abuja, the former and present capital of Nigeria. During the last and most dreadful Ebola crisis, which took the lives of thousands of Liberians, Sierra Leoneans, and Conakry Guineans, Cameroonians were mobilized to take rigorous and meticulous measures to ensure that no cases infiltrated our borders. The Minister of Public Health, Mama Fuda, and his medical corps teamed up effectively with the media to sensitize and alert Cameroonians on the dreadfulness and deadliness of Ebola. Now, more than the last time around, the government and opinion leaders must rapidly mobilize Cameroonians to respond to the situation as if it is already within our borders, considering that Calabar is a next door town to many of our southwest regional communities with whom much commercial activities are conducted. Cameroonians are a deeply religious people, and now is the time to pray fervently to God to spare the nation of an even more vicious and merciless calamity than the Boko Haram.
Christopher Fogwe in that report. Wonja Leslie had the password to our mailbox this week and shall be reading the letters after this transition. Our Desmond of Aziri in letter number one is worried about the fate of some poor citizens whose houses are being destroyed in the name of development.
News Extra. I wonder aloud whether the best way to bring development in a country like Cameroon is by breaking and destroying old houses. In this country, there are many things to take care of apart from breaking people's houses. The more the authorities in question keep on destroying houses of poor people, the more they make life miserable for them. I think it's not time for that. If Cameroon wants development, one of the first things to be done is raising the level of employment, not destroying old houses or houses along the roads.
Though handsome, in the second letter he is writing from Council Junction, is not happy that people pee anywhere and anyhow.
News Extra, my gateway to the world. I wonder why some people do not know the right places to urinate. Many people just urinate along the roadside. This act is a very irresponsible one, given that it messes up the environment. When you pass along some streets in Bamenda, all you get is the scent of urine. People should know where to stand and pee and where not to. The authorities that be should also ensure that public toilets are put at the disposal of the people, because some of these irresponsible behaviors are due to the lack of such facilities. And if not, then a quest for civic responsibility might just be an illusion.
And Priest Kantum of Alaachu in our last letter seems shocked at the punishment meted out by some teachers to peoples in the name of discipline.
Dear News Extra, I can't hold myself back but criticize certain things in our schools today. Some students nowadays are very stubborn, but it's strange the way some teachers handle such stubborn cases. For example, how can a teacher ask a child to present the back part of his or her hands for him to beat with a ruler, and he does not even care to stop even when blood is oozing? How does such a teacher expect that child to copy notes with broken hands?
We should not scare some students with disciplinary sanctions that are too harsh.
Email us at radio.foundation@yahoo.com or call us on the numbers 670-238045, 695-568480, and the News Extras team shall be at your service. It is time for news from the newspapers. How did our colleagues of the print media angle news happenings during the week? Atanga Atanachos read through some of them and has this review.
The topical issue in all three papers in today's review is the October 2 cabinet shake-up by President Paul Biya. The papers looked at the cabinet reshuffle from different angles depending on their points of interest. Chronicle newspaper profiles the life of the former Minister of Art and Culture and titles it The Rise and Fall of Amatutu Muna. The paper says as soon as the news of the cabinet shake-up was announced, inhabitants of Mbengwi celebrated the dismissal of Amatutu Muna from the government. The paper captions on page 4, Batibo gets first ever minister after Ndamukong. The paper reports that the appointment of Mba Acha Neros Fomundam Ngwari as minister delegate at the presidency in charge of Supreme State Audit is a square peg in a square hole. The paper carries the photos of all the ministers, both sacked and retained. The Horizon newspaper reports that after years of speculations and months of publication of perpetrated leaked government by the press, President Paul Biya at last capitulated to pressure from Cameroonians across the board that only a change of government could save the country from inertia and indiscipline. Eden newspaper, on its part, profiles the appointed ministers and compares their former posts to their present posts. The Horizon newspaper takes us to this human interest story where it reports that a man has been arrested for illegal possession and circulation of chimpanzee and mandrill bones in womb. He was arrested during a crackdown operation carried out by the Menchum Divisional Delegation of Forestry and Wildlife, working in collaboration with police and a wildlife law enforcement non-governmental organization known as LAGA. Agnes Ndote replaces Fonning as president of GFAC. The Horizon newspaper says the vacuum left by Madame Francoise Fonning at the helm of the Cameroon Business Women's Grouping has been filled last week. Senator Agnes Tombe Ndote, who was deputy president under Fonning, has taken over reins of office following an elective general assembly that held in Yaoundé on 29 September 2015. She has a 2-year mandate, renewable ones, the paper adds. Tico Boys are head of CPTM reorganization. Eddie newspaper says, as the countdown to the reorganization exercise of the CPTM narrows, Tico in Southwest region is boiling as traditional ruler, top customs official, a former and current member of parliament, former mayor, journalists are all in the race. The paper carries all the names of the aspirants who are determined to win in their various areas. That's all we had time for this week. On to next week for what the papers would have said.
Credits to Jean-Paul Wafo, newspaper vendor, City Chemist Roundabout Bamenda, for providing the papers for review. Cameroonian-born Isayatu has at least 3 months to call the shots at the helm of the world's powerful football governing body, FIFA. This follows the suspension of current president Sepp Blatter, Michel Platini and Jérôme Vaquet under investigation for corruption. Lance Vela, in the following paper, looks at the man Ayatu speculating on the stakes awaiting him as he sojourns at FIFA top job.
Sepp Blatter's reign as FIFA president could soon be over after the investigatory arm of the organization's ethics committee reportedly recommended a 90-day provisional suspension. His replacement until the next presidential election will be the president of the Confederation of African Football, CAF, and long-standing FIFA vice president Issa Ayatu, who has been linked to corruption in the recent past. In fact, Ayatu, who is now 69 years old, recently changed the Confederation's statutes, which oblige executives to step down once they reach 70. He claimed this was done in order to bring the policy into line with FIFA's. IATSU's presidency has overseen the rise of African places at the World Cup finals from 2 to 5, with impressive tournament performances from Cameroon, Senegal, Ghana and Algeria, boosting the continent's profile. He was central to South Africa's staging of the World Cup in 2010, presiding over both the bid and the organizing committee. Corruption allegations linked to IATSU abound. In 2010, investigations carried out by one of BBC's journalists alleged that IATSU had received bribes for World Cup TV rights in the 1990s. He was accused of receiving 100,000 French francs from the marketing agency ISL, who were eventually awarded the rights. He denied the allegations. The International Olympic Committee, of which IATSU is a member, reprimanded him over the ISL kickbacks in 2011. In that same year, IATSU was accused of accepting a $1.5 million bribe from the ultimately successful Qatar bid to host the 2022 World Cup. IATSU denied taking the money, and he is yet to be questioned by investigators over the allegations. This is another twist in the FIFA corruption saga that has blown good football tidings to the African continent, as many believe. But with such a Jekyll and Hyde reputation, will IATSU mar things the more at the already crumbling FIFA?
Heaven must have a great demand for excellent broadcast journalists. After the likes of Epsie Ngum, Ben Berker, Jovens, Charles Lanze, Akwanka, John Defoe, and Kwan Sang, and lots more, now the death has been announced of veteran former Sierra TV journalist Sam Nuvala Fonkem. He died in Boya last Thursday. He was an accomplished journalist who started practicing upon graduation in 1976 from the then International School of Journalism, Yaounde. His career, which kicked off as a news anchor and commentator at the national station of Radio Cameroon, brought him face to face with the grim reality of the consequences of refusing to play the role of his master's voice, that is the government. Interrogations with the political police, intimidations, arrests, and a 5-month jail at the Kondenge Maximum Security Prison, Yaounde, was a price he had to pay for being a free thinker. During his journey through the wilderness, marked by a layoff from the Cameroon Civil Service in 1998, Sam Nuvala Fonkem was columnist to a number of news publications until he joined the United Nations operation in Côte d'Ivoire as public relations officer. He since settled in Boya at the end of his mission, where he spent his last days. Michael Sam Nuvala Fonkem wrote the following books: Snapshots, an X-ray of Cameroon's democracy, governance and unification, Incisive Journalism in Cameroon, The Best of Cameroon Report, 1978 to 1986. Sam Nuvala Fonkem shall always be remembered for his authoritative, incisive voice. Francis Ngwaniba now takes a close look at a topic we seldom even talk about, though it is part of our lives: death and dying. He now takes a look at some of the landmark deaths that have affected him really badly as a close friend of his was buried this week in his hometown of Awing.
When I was still a very little boy, I always thought death was something that happened to other people and other families. It will never happen to me or any of my family members, I thought. How very foolish I was. As my dear friend Wens is buried today, the inevitability of my own death and my mortality stares me back in the face. Fare you well, my friend. You fought a good fight, had a great life, and leave behind two wonderful boys who will always carry your name. In my own small way, I promise to do what you asked me to do concerning your sons. Goodbye, Wens. I'm just too far away to even attend your funeral in your own village, Awing. Fare you well, my friend. I lost my dad in January this year. He was sick for just 2 months. My mom and others who watched him die were obviously sad when he passed away, but in a way were glad he was finally free of the ravaging illness and suffering he went through. Again, goodbye, Daddy. You will forever be missed. The most shocking death I still remember is that of my junior brother John Paul in 2008. We call him our Pope because he was born on the same day Pope John Paul II was made Roman Catholic Pope in 1978. He was only 30 years old. I had spoken to him a few days earlier only to receive a phone call from the USA where he was based that he had died suddenly. Saying I was shocked is an understatement. Joseph Angwafo, or Prof as he was fondly called, was another dear friend I lost last year following a ghastly motor accident. I could go on and on and on and on. The pain that we go through when a loved one dies never goes away. It is always there. It always surprised me when I hear on radio relatives announcing the untimely death of someone. I am almost amused when I hear that. I have never heard any announcement where the word timely was used in connection with a death. When I hear relatives announcing the untimely death of a 90-year-old great-grandmother on radio, I make a mental note to ban the word untimely from all death announcements when I become Director General. Unfortunately, that will never happen. So expect more untimely death announcements on CRTV and the hundreds of radio and TV stations that have mushroomed around the country. We prepare for our birthdays, our weddings, and many other occasions, but few, and I can say this again, very few people ever prepare for their death. We will, of course, die one day. Any funeral you attend is one funeral short of your own. We do miss loved ones and wish they live forever with us, but life does not work that way. Like our birthdays, weddings, graduations, and other celebrations, we need to also start thinking about planning our funerals. We regret to announce the untimely death of... Really? Untimely? Is there a right time to die? Oh, lest I forget, I lost a dear son in 2005. Goodbye, Prince. Goodbye, Wens. Goodbye, Daddy. Goodbye, John Paul. And all the others I cannot name here. Goodbye to you all. Till we meet again. Now take this as my last word. The only funeral I promise not to prepare for is of course mine. So will I also die an untimely death?
Francis Ngwa there in that so touching reflection. What's on the minds of Cameroonians and Bamenda city dwellers this week? Get their voices.
Mami Manka.
I just wanted to find out from you what's on your mind today.
Oh, you mean what I have on my mind today?
Yes.
Oh, so many things on my mind, my girl. You see, I've just been thinking about this issue of emergence in Cameroon in the year 2035, and I'm wondering if Cameroon really emerge in 2035, because I find a lot of things moving backwards instead of moving forward. So I was just doubting and asking myself this question. So that's actually what I had on my mind today. Well, a woman of my age should be expecting so much. Having lived for a number of years and seen how Cameroon started developing and then started drawing backwards, I imagine that our road network is the main problem for now. If you look at our road network system, the way they think is the roads are degrading, I begin to wonder, because we should begin by developing our roads, at least repairing the real bad ones and moving forward. But I don't see that coming. So I doubt. That's why I'm doubting if the emergency will actually be a reality. So that's why I have doubts.
Welcome to Foundation Radio. I just want to know what's on your mind.
Right now, what's on my mind is looking for a house. I've been looking for a house for a very long time now, but I'm so happy I found one. And I'm excited to go to the house. I just like the surrounding, the people that I'm going to be with. Around
the main thing in my mind is my hope. When I talk about hope, I mean thinking about something like the future. I have a dream that I want to make up. I need to leave this country and go out before I can make that dream, and that's what I know. So right now, what I'm up to right now is living country, going out. That's it. That's the main thing on my mind.
Wait there for my mind now. The thing about my picking their future, because we will look the way the country they go about. Would they really wonder what are some of picking them? They will feel benefit with it. Others they don't benefit. But all I say, would it work together? System they picking their stand, because the way they picking their lifestyle today, it make them would over put question mark about them. Because as we grow, then think that we'll be the dwarf. Then we'll see what the dwarf today would over get fear. So we'll get to go dance on our knees, especially me. Because the way my picking them, they act, they don't look like me. Then I just wonder how their future will look like. But all I say, I just live an honor for God. Now only you be the final person now. So I know if you do anything without it. So we just surrender all things for God. Thank you.
That my village, that bridge where don't spoil for the befang modele mukru. May government send eye for that side, help we for that side, we fix that our bridge. We call our mommy and parent, they suffer. And I didn't ask enough to go village. We call the fear for that bridge.
Say that road for. From T Junction to hospital and about, I'll be listing a program where they will go interview a government delegate. The way we take and talk for people there. You know, fine, because now people their money, you know, be personal money where it use away, it talk anyhow for people there. So me do something. If you say change remain, wait till you don't do the change, because we need that change for that money where it remain.
What is in your own mind? Maybe we shall get it next week in our own program, your own program, News Extra on Foundation Radio. A successful man is one who can lay a firm foundation with bricks others have thrown on him. Same time next week, same frequency, FM 100, and of course, same radio, Foundation Radio, but for a brand new edition of News Extra. God being our helper, it shall still be yours. Mokun Johnny Nelson, have a blessed regard.